Brother Dwayne has asked us to turn to Joshua chapter 24, the first 18 verses. Joshua, Yehoshua, that's Jesus' name actually, but by the time of Jesus it was shortened. It became more popular to say Yeshua than Yehoshua, but this is really Jesus' name. I want to thank all of you for your prayers. I got a lot of texts and so on. I really appreciate. We plan to have a funeral service Tuesday, and what we want to do is have from 10:30 to 11:30, just a short time where anyone would come view the body. Now, I don't expect anyone here. We're talking 4 to 5 hours to get to the funeral home, and so I do not expect anyone to come. I just appreciate your prayers, but if you would come, just for your information, it will be at the Forgie Schneider Funeral Home in East McKeesport. And what you would do is get off the turnpike west at Irwin, take Route 30 west into East McKeesport, and when you come in there, there'll be Route 48. You cross that the very next, one block is Broadway, and the funeral home's about 2 blocks on the left. But again, I appreciate your prayers, and I don't expect people to travel out there. Then what we plan to do is have just that hour viewing, and then go. There's a little chapel at the cemetery, which is back east of, it's only 5-10 minutes away from the funeral home. And we're going to have a short service at the chapel and then go to the graveside. And I think Brother Brian will appreciate your prayers. He offered to put himself out for me one more time. He's always done that. And he agreed to have a devotional service there. And so uphold him with your prayers. Again, thank you all for your prayers. God has been very good to us this week, regardless of things we would like to change. God has been good, and I just have to praise him. Okay, we're going to Joshua chapter 24. Beginning of verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and he came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwelled in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you. The Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards, which ye planted not, do you eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Let us kneel as we pray.
Thank each one of you for praying on my behalf this morning. Especially thank Brother George for his prayer. The title of the message this morning is Declare and Choose. Declare and choose. Sometimes statements can be made that at first seem good, but then are found out to lack commitment. For example, the message a teacher, Mrs. Fisher, received from her fourth grade class. Mrs. Fisher was recovering from surgery when she received a card from her class that read like this: Dear Mrs. Fisher, your fourth grade class wishes you a speedy recovery by a vote of 15 to 14. At least she had the majority. Other times a statement can be made that causes one to have questions or doubts. Like the one from Mark Twain when he said, be careful about reading health books, you may die of a misprint. Then there are statements that are very straightforward and leave no doubt what is meant, like the following: some cause happiness wherever they go, others whenever they go. I hope I don't fall into that one. Some statements are witty but may in reality lack substance as to how to fulfill them. Or how to fulfill what's being proposed, like the one made by Quentin Crisp when he said, never keep up with the Joneses. Drag them down to your level. It's cheaper. How do you do that? Other statements are so general that they say very little, like, we're going to be the best that we can be. Okay, if I asked you, how are you going to grow your garden? You say, well, I'm going to be the best that I can be. What does that tell me? Doesn't tell me much, does it? What kind of seed are you going to use? What kind of, or are you going to water it? Will you use chemicals? Will you weed it? If somebody asks me, what kind of softball team are you involved with? And if I say, well, we're going to be the best that we can be, it leaves a lot of blanks, don't it? Are we going to wear gloves to catch the ball? Are you going to be selective at what you swing at, or what kind of bats are you going to use? Are you going to follow the fundamentals and so on? But then there are some statements that are a declaration or a part of a declaration. And a declaration simply means is the act of declaring. Don't you love the words that define themselves with the same word when the dictionary does that? Well, according to Merriam-Webster, to declare means to make known as a determination, to make known officially. And then I believe it's another dictionary that says to make clear. The keys to a declaration are, does it contain truth? And will it be then committed to by someone? You need both. Because a declaration may be full of the truth, but if people don't live by it and aren't committed to its truths, then the declaration loses its effect. July 4th, which is tomorrow, is known as Independence Day in our country because it is the day that a document, the Declaration of Independence, was adopted, and it's debated whether when it was signed, and I believe it's thought that many of them signed it actually about a month later in August. Some interesting things about the Declaration of Independence and surrounding that. 56 people signed it, aged ranged from 26 to the oldest at 70. 70 was years old was Ben Franklin. And I discovered that on the as it was approved and adopted on the 4th in 1776, they sent it to a printer who printed 200 copies of it, or about 200 copies, and then it was sent out to the 13 colonies, to newspapers, local officials, and to the commanders of the Continental troops. And most of those have disappeared, but there's 26 copies still around. And in fact, in 1989, a man from Philadelphia bought a picture, an old picture at a flea market at Adamstown. That's in between Ephrata and Reading, not that far from here. Lo and behold, in the back of that picture was a copy of one of those copies that had been printed of the Declaration of Independence. He bought the picture for $4. It sold in 2000 for $8.1 million. Kind of interesting, some of the things you discover. But what was the purpose of the Declaration of Independence? The Declaration of Independence made known or made official, made clear that this country would be its own nation, ruling itself and not being under the rule of another nation. And men committed to the truth in that declaration and chose to have the country live by that. And the Declaration of Independence will only be effective for as long as people are committed to it. You know, I'm thankful for our country's independence. Though I'm just passing through this world, I'm thankful to be passing through in this country. But there's one downside in the time that we live, and you might, maybe you don't see it as a downside, but to a degree I think it is, and it's largely because of technology. We are basically being programmed, and believers are too, we as professing believers, we're being programmed that we don't need other people. Or we need them less and less, put it that way. It's easy to become very independent. We don't have to interact with others. Just Google it. Find out how to do something. You need to talk to someone. Just Google it. Granted, somebody is providing that, so in that way we still need people, but we're not interacting with people as much, and you're not, there's a sense of, I can do this myself. Yet our spiritual life is all about depending on someone else. It's about choosing. And I want to stress that word this morning, choosing. To choose to depend on someone else. And for believers, I'd like to suggest that there needs to be not so much a declaration of independence, but a declaration of dependence. Because we depend on someone. We depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. But within this declaration of dependence, there are truths declared by God and truths about Him that we can declare. And then like the Declaration of Independence of our nation, we have the choice as to whether we will live by them, these declarations, and whether we'll be committed to them. We have declarations about God that we can hold on to and be committed to, but we have a choice. The Christian life is really comes down to making right choices. Choose. We talk to the students at school a lot about that sometimes, you know, the choices we make, how important that is. We have that ability to choose. We choose to believe in Jesus. We choose to believe in Him. We choose to trust Him. We choose to forsake sin. It doesn't just happen. We choose. We choose to obey the Lord. We choose to allow Him to be our Master and Lord. Every day, all day long, and throughout that day, we make spiritual choices that affect that day. And when Brother Matt closed last Sunday evening, he referred to the verse that I was considering and looking towards for this Sunday. And it's in Joshua 24 that Brother George read in verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, do what? Choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were at the on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is a little awkward this morning. First of all, my eyes are not as good as they were, and so my regular glasses are not strong enough anymore. And then I had an eye issue this week that's making it worse. So I got reading glasses. So it's fine, it shows my print real well, but you look kind of blurry. And it's kind of awkward. So if you see me peering over the top, that's why. But choose. That's a responsibility laid on all of us. No matter how much truth we hear or we read or we declare, no matter how good the declaration is, we have to make choices that commit to that truth. And those declarations will affect how we live each day and those choices we make concerning them. Now, we want to consider some declarations and choices we need to make based on those declarations. We want to consider that this morning. And we're just touching the surface here, because we're only going to consider three. But let's begin with, and you won't have time to turn to all these scriptures, but Psalm 118:28 says, Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Psalm 118:8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. In Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? In Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And so from all those verses, our first declaration is this: God is our God. You say, well, that's rather simple. Yeah, but it has some distinct ramifications. God is our God. The children of Israel made that declaration. In the scripture that was read, Joshua put the choice out to them. He said, you're going to have to choose this day whom you're going to serve, whether it's the God, the real God, or the God of the Amorites, the strange gods. They said that they would serve the Lord. You go on in the text that was read, and Joshua basically told them, you can't serve the Lord and the strange gods both at the same time. Don't try that. They said, we'll serve the Lord. They made a commitment to serve the Lord and put away their strange gods. They made a choice. But the declaration is God is our God. And they declared that. I believe it's verse 18. At the very end, he says, they said, for he is our God. What choices are you and what choices am I responsible to make because he is our God? Well, in Psalm 118:28, it gives us a couple. Or one, thou art my God. That's the declaration. And then there's the choice coming. I will praise thee. Thou art my God. I will exalt thee. Because God is my God, I choose to praise him. I choose to praise him. Psalm 145, 2, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. How do we bless and exalt the Lord? It's not just in praising him in words and song. That's good. We should be doing that. But we praise him, or we bless him and exalt him by how we live, by how we honor him with our lives and the choices that we make. So because God is my God, because he is your God, if you claim that declaration or you declare that, the choice needs to be to praise him. Because God is my God, I choose to trust him. You know, that really is a choice. Now, I love all the good feelings. I'm a feely kind of guy, if you want to say it that way. Emotions, and they run rather rampant at times. And I I'm a huggy person. Some people aren't, some are. Feelings are great, but when it comes to trusting the Lord, it's a choice. So because he is our God, we have to choose to trust him. Again, Psalm 18, verse 2 that I read before. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Make a conscious choice, decision to trust him. I like these words that were penned that focus on that choice to trust. It says, I choose to believe that you are faithful, speaking to God, and my heart is in your hands. And this mystery that I face today is part of a greater plan. I choose not to be discouraged when the sun will not break through. I have the choice of trusting you. So, Lord, this is what I choose. I know the road will not be easy. I know I'll have my weaker days. And Satan will tell me, I don't mean it when I say I'll trust God all the way. Do you ever hear that from Satan? But that really doesn't matter. I refuse to hear him out. With my faith, I'll find the power that will overcome all doubt. Lord, I've never felt so strong as when I'm resting in your arms, when I made the choice to trust him. Because God is my God, because God is your God, I choose not to fear. Why? Well, again, the declaration comes from Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And then it says, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And Psalm 118:8, again, that I read before, the declaration, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. We have a choice to not fear because God is our God. We'll be afraid at times. I was afraid in Baltimore about 25 years ago when the man took me off my trailer and into the store with a gun behind, holding the gun behind me. I was afraid. There's times we're going to be afraid. There's healthy fears. It's normal. It's good to be afraid of poisonous snakes. That's a healthy fear. Heights with no protection. I wouldn't advise you to go up on top of the church here and, you know, walk around like you're on the solid ground. We should be afraid of, as human beings, as Christians we don't have to be, but as human beings we should be afraid of divine judgment. Healthy fears. Healthy fears and being afraid. But the fear can debilitate, and there's a difference between healthy fears and living in fear. We have a choice. We will be afraid at times, but we can make the choice to trust and not to fear. We have to do that on a daily basis sometimes, quite often. Because God is my God, I will choose to live differently. We're talking about choices we need to make because of a declaration. We're claiming that God is our God. Because of that, I will choose to live differently. I will choose to live for Him. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. There's a conscious commitment or a decision to come out, to separate from evil. Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's a decision to walk, a choice. Matthew 5:44 gives me a choice. It says, I will love my enemies, bless them that curse me, do good to them that hate me, pray for them that despitefully use me and persecute me. That's not the normal. That's a choice because God is my God. Romans 12:17-18, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Repay no one evil for evil. Again, that's not the normal. Live honestly is not the normal. You know, and this is just an example, happened to me, and it's not to lift me up or anything. I ordered some Mentos, packs of Mentos. They come six in a pack if you buy them in the store. Some of them, there's Mento candy, and we use them here. The students like them, so we use them as a reward or in our little merit store. So I ordered some of these because I got a good price. And lo and behold, I did two orders because I was able to get a good price on it, and the way I work, used a coupon and so on. So I got these orders, and I started counting. And I remember how many I ordered, but it turned out there was 20-some, I think, and 20-some extra ones, packs, that I didn't order. So I called them. I figured I knew what they were going to say, but I was at least going to follow through and call them. I called them, and I explained this, that I got these extra packs. You know what the lady told me, basically? She didn't know what to do quite because this was abnormal. She never had that happen before. And so she had to get off and check with it and then get back to me. Things that aren't normal, we have a choice to choose to live differently because God is our God. Well, because God is my God, my speech needs to be different. Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. And there's choices involved right there to keep our mouth and our tongue, to guard it. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We have a choice as to what comes out. Because God is my God, that needs to be different. Because God is my God, my love will be real and genuine. Romans 12:9 says, let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. In other words, it's saying, let love be sincere. Because God is my God, my love will be real and genuine. I came across this quote that said, most people, now let's think about this, and how many times I've been guilty of this. Most people do not listen with the intent to understand, In other words, when you're talking to them. Most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. Yes, indeed. That's what happens a lot of times. And I do it. And that's not really being genuine and showing that I really, really care. Or that my love is real. These are all choices we can make. I will be real and genuine. I will be real and genuine. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another. That's simply being real with someone. This is who I really am, and I'm telling you, I want to be real. I want to be genuine. Because God is my God, I will pray. I will call upon Him. Why wouldn't I? You know, I use again my situation, basically, because I'm familiar with it. It's okay to trust doctors. I have three that I really, really think highly of. Or we do, I should say. They're important in my life. I place to a degree my life into their hands. But with them, I need to trust God more. And they're just instruments being used by Him. And He should be hearing from us. He should be hearing from us, and maybe He wants to do something apart from the doctor. Or maybe He'll do it through the doctor. Either way, God wants us to call on Him. James 5:16 again, pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man doesn't do any good. Is that what it says? It says it availeth much. It has value. It's dynamic and it's working. It makes tremendous power available. So because God is my God, because He's your God, I need to make the choice to pray. And I don't understand all that. Why God works through prayer. And why He wants us to pray instead of just doing something without us praying. But I do know that it places our dependency on Him. And He wants that. We need to choose to pray. Psalm 116, 1 and 2. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. And that means earnest prayers. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. As long as I live. Because God is my God, I will honor Him with my money and possessions and how I view money and possessions. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase or all thine revenue. Substance simply means riches and wealth. So honor the Lord with all our riches, all our wealth, and with the first fruits of all thine revenue. You know, one philosophy concerning money and wealth is this. Get all you can all you get, then sit on the can. We laugh at that, but how are we with it? How many of us are sitting on that can? I'm including myself. This doesn't just apply to who we think are the wealthy. It's whether I have a dollar or $1 million. Do I honor God with my view of money and possessions, or do they rule me? Are they more important than family or relationships? We wouldn't necessarily say they are. I don't know if there's anybody in here that would say that. or anybody maybe watching or listening. We wouldn't say it, but I'm wondering how we act. What do our actions say? The declaration is, God is my God. He is my light, my salvation, the strength of my life, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. Because we make that declaration, we declare it, there are choices we need to make to match it. I will praise him. I will trust him. I will honor him. I will not fear. I will live differently from the world. I will speak in a way that honors him. I will love in a real and genuine way. I will be real and genuine. I will pray. I will honor him with how I view my money, or view money in general and possessions. We're not covering all the bases here by any stretch of the imagination, but it should cause us to think about where we're at. The former football coach, Tony Dungy, he's very outspoken about his faith in the Lord. He said this: people look at me and see a calm, cool guy on the sidelines, and I want them to know that my Christian faith affects my coaching and everything I do, unquote. Amen, amen, amen. Because God is my God, it needs to affect everything I do. The second declaration is found in 2 Corinthians. If you're getting worried, don't, because I don't spend as much time in the next two. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That second declaration is simply this: in Christ, we are new creatures. We are new creatures. We do not need to be, and we should not be, controlled by the old sin nature. We have to deal with it. We shouldn't be controlled by it. We don't have to accept Satan's offers. Temptation can be beaten. It can be. I'm not always successful. I struggle like any other person in here. But the fact is, temptation can be beaten. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. In other words, and you're a new creature in Christ. Because of that, Christ or the Lord gives you the ability and a way out. Temptation can be beaten. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. In other words, sin doesn't have to control us. I've been in those shoes where sin controlled me. I've been there. Been there, brothers. I'm not there now. But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to control us. Because I am a new creature in Christ, Romans 6 is a reality for me, for you. And I can choose, and I will choose, or reckon, as the scripture says, realize that I'm dead, indeed on the sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I choose not to let sin reign in my body, that I should obey it in the lust thereof. And I choose not to yield my members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield myself unto God as one that is alive from the dead, and my members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Those are choices that we can make as new creatures in Christ. But we have to make the choice. It's a great declaration. We're a new creature in Christ, but it doesn't do me any good if I don't make choices that coincide with it. Because I am a new creature in Christ, I choose integrity to be a priority. Psalm 25:21, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Because I am a new creature in Christ, I choose to be thankful and joyful. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. That's a choice. Psalm 118:24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Guess what? It's a choice to rejoice and to be joyful. Well, the joy of the Lord that is within us from what he's done, that's there. Because that's something we can't produce. He does that. But we choose whether we're going to experience it, in a sense, and show it to others. Because I am a new creature in Christ, I have a choice concerning temptation and sin. I choose integrity. I choose to be thankful and joyful. That brings us to the third declaration. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Psalm 86:5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. From those two verses, I would say this. The declaration is this: there is no condemnation to those in Christ. That should almost bring you out of the pew. Now, I know we're not, I'm not saying you should, but you know, if the thought of that is bringing you up out, I don't think it would matter. It'd be okay. Because that would be a genuine response. There is no condemnation for those in Christ. And God is a merciful, forgiving God. Now, I understood there in Romans 8:1 is that those in Christ walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Again, that's possible because we are new creatures. It doesn't mean we won't ever sin. But the general statement, or the commentary of my life, of your life as a believer, is that my desire is to walk after the Spirit, and it is the normal reality. Not the abnormal, but the normal. And there's choices that I make because of that. Because God is merciful and a forgiving God, I will call upon him. He's the only one who can forgive me. Who can help me? He's the only one that can. You know, I can be pretty good sometimes. You may not be aware of this, but when I'm around you, I can be pretty good sometimes. I can be a pretty good fella. Ask the youth. I like to have a lot of fun, but I can be pretty good. You know what? It's not good enough. It's not good enough. He will forgive us not based on any of our merits, but on the merits of his Son, Jesus Christ, and on the truth of who God is. Proverbs 28. Verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh him shall have mercy. Because God is a merciful and forgiving God, I will confess my sins to him. I will forsake them. I will see them for what they are. I won't excuse them. Because no matter how good I am, as good as I can be, it's not good enough. It's just filthy rags before God. Because God is merciful, forgiving God, I choose to do the same for others. He forgives me so much, I choose to forgive others. Because God is a merciful, forgiving God, guess what? I can choose to forgive myself. Sometimes that's the hardest one. But I can choose to forgive myself because God's a merciful, forgiving God. Ephesians 4:32, and concerning forgiving others and be kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Because God is a merciful, forgiving God, I will not be ashamed of him or the gospel. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Why should I be ashamed? I choose to believe. Yes, I choose to believe, but guess what? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves me. The declaration is that God is a merciful, forgiving God. Therefore, we need to choose to call upon him, confess our sins, forgive myself, and forgive others, and choose not to be ashamed of our God. Declarations of a believer. We've only looked at three. God is our God. In Christ, we're a new creation, or new creatures. There is no condemnation to those in Christ, and God is a merciful, forgiving God. Wonderful things to declare, true statements that we make, but we have choices to make day by day. Choose you this day, Joshua said. And we'll make choices today, but guess what? That doesn't leave us off the hook tomorrow. We're going to have to make choices again tomorrow if we live. And the next day, choices that go hand in hand with the declarations, that show the declarations are true in our lives. Feelings are wonderful, as I said before, but choices reveal our true heart. They reveal our true heart. God has given us the freedom to choose, and as believers, we have the power of the Spirit to help us choose. It's time for me to sit down. Just remember as you go and as I go into each day, we have a choice. We can choose how we respond. We can choose to love. We can choose to have joy. We can choose to forgive. We can choose goodness. So much is debased on our choices. Declare and choose.
Brother Duane reminded us that we have been given the power of choice, and the choices we make are a reflection of what's in our heart. You know, in Matthew 22, a lawyer came to Jesus and asked him a question. And my experience with lawyers are that they like to ask questions that are a little tricky and want to trip you up. And I think it says there that they came tempting him. He came tempting Jesus. And I think Jesus' answer basically was telling him, you have a choice to make, and I'm going to tell you what to choose. And this is what he said. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That takes in a lot of territory. In fact, he says, if you can get that, you got it. That takes in forgiveness, takes in love, mercy, grace. So much is involved there. If you can do that, you have it. Let's stand before him in prayer.